I played that one just for Andy. I know it was the Dolphin scoring a touchdown, but it was the fullback scoring a touchdown. And you know that set his toes a tapping when you saw that.
You're damn right.
That was, they probably got a little... hot in the room there.
All right, we don't need to go down that road.
Opening windows.
Clean it up.
Whoa, look at that. Look at that Alec Ingold getting in there. That was in the third quarter. No. That was the fourth quarter. As, unfortunately, the Patriots unable to hold off. They had a lead in the second half. They were up 10-3 at halftime. They were 7-3 at halftime and then kicked a field goal in the first drive in the second half to make it 10-3. Miami comes back 10-6 with their own field goal. Patriots go 3-and-out. Dolphins have another field goal drive as they start to put some offense together. They still couldn't get in the end zone. And then the Patriots had an interesting drive. It was a 7-play, 38-yard drive, which started with some runs, and they'd been running the ball well all day. And then that's when the passing started, this weird idea that we got to keep, you know, throwing, even though they had a lead in the second half. You saw Gibson get a big run for 24 yards. Stevenson with a 2-yard run to make it 2nd-and-8, and then it's Brissett incomplete to Polk again, delay of game on 4th-and-8, and then Behringer goes and punts it, completely lets the air out of the entire drive after a big long run there from Gibson, one of the bigger runs of the day, not quite as long as the touchdown run, but I think it was the second longest run of the day, and part of why they had such a great average. And then they just went away from it for two straight plays, and even though it's only two plays out of an entire game, I think that was, to me, indicative of the game plan, sort of Alex Van Pelt and the play calling, and just, I don't know, a disconnect between what's working and what they're doing. Like, you see what's working in this game. You see what's connecting. You see how you're picking up yards, how you're getting in the end zone, all of that stuff, and you go away from it, you know, and go to something that hasn't been working for you all year.
And go away from your planned identity.
Right.
It'd be one thing if you went away from passing. Say you were passing well and you're like, we're going to go back to running because we don't really think this passing thing is sustainable. It's not who we are. It's not what we're built for. The thing you wanted to be was a running team.
Not just wanted to be.
Right.
Told everyone that.
Absolutely.
You're gonna be. Yeah.
And you're doing it, and then you're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to change it up. This is like you go to
keep
a concert.
Keep them on their toes.
Yeah, you go to a concert, and they don't sing any of the hits, and you're like,
right.
The hell's this crap?
It's from our new album.
Nope. We don't want to hear your new album. We want you to play the hits. I came to see the hits, and the hits for them is the running game. Mm-hmm. It's Stevenson. It's even Gibson now. He's now consistently added something to the running game. So it's not like, oh, somebody's banged up or worn down. We can't do it. Oh, you also have your line back. You have your line in a way that benefits Mike Onwenu moving into guard, where everybody agrees he's better suited. It was set up perfectly for you to run the clock out on a victory in the second half of this game. In multiple different drives were set up perfectly for you to take them to the hill, right? Take them to the hill,
right.
Run it down their throats.
You just picked up a first down. You're right at midfield, basically, is where they started after that big run. It took them out to like the 45 or the 46, and that's where you are, and that's where you're starting from. That's when you run the ball.
And then we decided this is a day we're going to get Jacoby Brissett 34 passing attempts.
And then the ensuing drive, they go down, push it down your throat, and there's a touchdown, there's the game.
They took you to the hill. They imposed their will on you. By the way, who are they?
The Dolphins?
Yeah, but no. But who are they? Don't they have two of the top 10 receivers in the National Football League?
Yes.
Small, fast. Like,
they have two good running backs, too.
No, they do, but they are supposed to be a receiver-heavy team, and yet they drove it down your throats.
Right.
You're supposed to be a run-heavy team, and you were showing the ability to maybe drive it down their throats, and you decided to get away from it. Now, I also wonder, is Alex Van Pelt suddenly like questioning himself? Is he suddenly hearing the noise? Well, I got to mix it up, or everybody's going to say this isn't sustainable, and we can't always run, and you got to be more creative, and you got to throw, and you got to do this, you got to get the receivers involved, blah, 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 blah. No. Be who you are.
Yeah.
You're an offensive line that has its issues. Let them run block.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, offensive linemen always want to run block. All of them. They always want to run block. They want to fire out and move people. They'd much rather do that than try to keep athletes from getting to their quarterback, who isn't the most mobile guy on the planet. You were having success with it. You overthought it.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple, stupid. The Patriots win this game. Not only on that drive, but then the next drive when you got in scoring range.
Yep.
And you had a minute and change, whatever, three timeouts. It was textbook run the ball and the game is over. It almost reminded me, remember when Brady in the Super Bowl, when Belichick was having the debate as to whether to kick a field goal against the Rams, and he's like, kick the field goal and the game's over.
Kick it right
he
now,
like
yeah.
almost yelled at him, like, kick the field goal and the game's over.
Idiot.
This felt like a run the ball and the game's probably over.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like pass, 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 pass. It made no sense, and
It's like Colorado at the end of the game when Shador wants to get some yards for his friend or something. He's just hucking up passes.
Yeah, but at least
like,
he's a chucker. Like, true, he can chuck bombs. He can throw. And he has athletes on the other end.
Right.
So we can pad our stats a little bit. You don't
have any of that.
You don't throw the ball well. You don't catch the ball well. You don't get open all that well. You run the ball. If there's one thing we think you might be able to do relatively successfully and consistently, it's run the ball.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah. I don't feel like it today.
And
let's throw it.
As far as the defense is concerned, and again, they were very much understaffed here in this defense. On that drive and the ensuing touchdown drive that ended with the Ingold scamper there, they had 3rd and 13 after, I think it was a holding penalty on Miami. And that's when the Christian Ellis penalty happened. And that was crippling. I mean, that you had him. You had him 3rd and about as long as you want. And I don't know. I mean, Snoop Huntley's probably not hitting the 13-yard pass there. And instead, he goes right over the middle to, I think it was Mostert. And they were yelling at Ellis. They're like, get over there. That's your guy.
Well, he was like,
he's right there in the slot. And he's running across the field. He gets there, and after 4 yards, he just mauls the guy. And that's the pass interference, and that was it. Which, again, Ellis probably shouldn't have been out there. You know, he's out there because of injuries, and you don't have your starters. And you're sort of scrambling on defense, but that's just part of it. I mean, it's 3rd and 13. You're not lined up right, and one of your guys out there who wasn't ready to go ends up, committing a crippling penalty that ended up extending that drive, and they ultimately scored and beat you.
And what have we heard for a couple weeks was an issue? Communication.
Yeah.
That's a communication breakdown.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's a mental mistake. I guess the communication actually kind of worked because they realized it and told the dummy.
At the last second, get over there. But, like, he should have been there to begin with.
Right. Yeah. He should have been on the other side. He was on the opposite side where he was supposed to be. And, again, they've harped on communication for multiple weeks now. All of these things go back to coaching. They go back to error repeaters.
Yep.
And I don't know whether Jerod Mayo has become the error repeater. It looks like it. The clock management at the end of the first
That's
half.
That's not getting any better.
And he admitted it.
Yeah.
What did he say? He said it was a carbon copy or something like that. He admitted it was the exact same situation. Well, that's your team, and whether you're the HC of the offense or not, that's under your watch,
right?
Like, you have to supersede, remind, whatever. And I understand he's not calling the offensive plays. He did try to clarify today. Again, I'll go back to this. I do not remember when he took back calling Alex Van Pelt the head coach of the offense. He said it multiple times this summer. Mm-hmm. He claims he clarified it and took it back. I don't recall the clarification. He did it certainly today with the Greg Hill show, I believe. Not in the press conference, the Greg Hill show.
Right.
And he said, well, you know, I really spend most of, half my time with the offense and half my time with... Okay, now I have more reason to blame you then. Because if you're spending half your time with the offense...
I'd distance myself from
I would absolutely...
If I were you.
Man, that's the HC of the offense. Ask him. But if you're really there half the time, then all these mistakes that are happening again and again and again are on your watch. And even if you weren't, even when Josh McDaniels had close to autonomy on offense during play calling and during games, he would say... Bill would chime in with, let's run the ball here. Let's set a certain tone. You whatever run plays you want to call, you call, and you figure it out play calling wise. That's where Jerod needs to, let's not have the Seattle thing happen again here. Let's make sure we don't bungle. Like, say something, do something. Evan Rothstein, you chime in to Jerod's ear and then pass it down operator style so that he gets the message. So it's really, that's as problematic or more so than Jacoby Brissett, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, because Jacoby Brissett is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and they're also choosing to play him. So, I mean, that's
you're
another
playing
coaching decision.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, but, like, you're a coach. You have time to figure it out, to get better, to learn. And you and Alex Van Pelt and the coaching staff are error repeaters. That's why I think, personally, the Ben McAdoo questions are quite fair. Because the execution offensively, play calling offensively, has been horrific at times. And that is before... You get to the offensive line. That's before you get to Jacoby Brissett and what's actually happening on the field. I'm talking about the 40 seconds leading up to the play.
Right.
That has been really bad.
Yeah, it has. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got some open phone lines if you'd like to jump on and join the conversation as we react to a truly putrid game right here at Gillette Stadium yesterday. Let's go to John in the car, who has a thought on the coaching staff. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, supposedly Brissett was brought in because he knew AVP's offense.
Right.
I don't think AVP knows what his own offense is. So I think you guys have talked about the play calling questions, like leading, going down the drive and then like run, and then it's passes all over the place. The thing that I found even more confounding was when they went down there and they finally passed it at the end, like fourth down, and where's Pop Douglas? Like nowhere to be found, and he's not anywhere on the field. Like, what is that play calling? when you finally then, like, at the very end, you have another chance for it again. This is another Gerard Mayo, like, I don't know if he's just, like, making up words and using words and hopefully nobody pays attention, but how is it an execution problem when finally, like you've been throwing to the boundary all game. That's all you do is throw to the boundary. Finally, Brissett finds somebody that's open who happens to be over the middle of the field. Maybe we should try that during the game.
No. Only with 7 seconds left and no timeouts. I think it's really the optimal time to do that.
Now it's an execution problem. Now it's an execution problem. That's what he says. No, it's a play calling issue that you can't ever call plays that work anytime, whatever. So now the guy finally sees somebody open and he throws it to him. Like, that's not execution. That's, you have a terrible offensive coordinator. Get rid of him from play calling and at least let McAdoo try it for once, like, for the rest of the season, because I'm done with ABP and this and his stupidity and this, like, tenth option as the OC. Like, done. He needs to go.
All right, thanks for the call, John. Not a lot of confidence, I'd say, in Alex Van Pelt today. I don't think there's been any real confidence in him this entire time, aside from the fact that, well, he's a QB whisperer, and he's going to be good to bring Drake May along. He's going to be good to coach him up. That's all sort of yet to be seen, I guess, and that's really, in some ways, all Van Pelt has left here. I mean, we're not watching a functioning offense right now.
That's the most
important
part.
This is not something that he can point to and say, hey, you know, even if it doesn't work out with May, look at this great offense I built. Like, no way.
No, that's the most important part of his job, is whatever happens with Drake May. We can believe Burt Breer and the comments that there's been good growth of Drake May behind the scenes, and this week it was dealing with the blitz in practice, and he's trending towards being the best quarterback on the roster, even though I thought he was the best quarterback in August, according to his head coach, so I don't know what's happened since August and now into October. But, you know, it's funny, that just made me think, the execution of the offense. You ever heard that famous Rich McKay?
Oh, I'm in favor of it, yeah.
I'm all for it or whatever. Yeah. That's what it made me kind of think. What do you think the execution of the Patriots offense? I'm all for it.
Go
because,
for it, yeah.
And I know we make light of it, but it just...
Of executing the offense?
Well, the end of that game, I don't care where you are. If you are coaching an 8U Pop Warner team, or you're coaching a high school JV varsity team, a Division III, if you make that play in that situation...
The throw to Henry.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Everyone is pissed at the quarterback, the coach, everybody involved. Because you can't do it. It's unacceptable. It's... That, you know, you don't need to be an NFL QB whisperer. You don't need to be a 10-year veteran quarterback to know you can't do that. That is something that can't be done in that situation.
Should Henry have batted it down? They would have had another play, right?
Would they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
So maybe a little bit on Henry there, too.
That's tough to do, though.
Yeah.
That's tough to do.
It's tough to – I mean, he was able to catch it. I'm being a little unfair right now.
I agree.
You know, I mean, like, that's, he sees the ball coming. What's he going to do?
But, yes, they would be better off with another attempt.
They would have been better off if
he this time throw it to the end zone, because now you wouldn't even have the ability to throw it to the sideline. Now you'd flat out have to throw it to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was like Rodgers in the pack in the Vikings-Jets game. There was a batted pass that he went to grab, and then he realized it would be dumb for me to grab this and just let it drop.
Mm-hmm.
If you were being really cerebral, He probably would have been better off batting that ball down and having a couple seconds to throw the ball into the air. But you shouldn't be in that position.
No.
Don't put that on him.
Don't throw it to him in the first place. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Like in that spot.
And they said it in the broadcast. They're like, they baited him into this throw. And the Dolphins did kind of bait him into the throw. Like, they just sort of backed off him a little bit and let him just sort of throw his hands up.
They want you to throw it there because it ends the game.
Douglas is in front of him. Douglas is in front of him cutting across
the
field.
And he may get tackled too. Who
knows?
But he's got a better chance at run after the catch.
He's faster than Hunter Henry, that's for sure. And he's sprinting towards the sideline.
I have no problem throwing to Henry if he's at the goal line, if he's in the end zone, because I do think
he's moving towards the sideline.
He's one of your better pass catchers.
Yeah.
I do think he's one of your more reliable options. But where he was on the field, it virtually guaranteed the game was going to end.
Yep, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. And there were some silver linings in this game, I think. Not a lot of them. There was like maybe one or two. And we'll get to that. We'll get to who the GOAT of this game was, and we'll look around the NFL. Pretty interesting week all around the league with rookie quarterbacks and other notable things that we'll get to right after Stiz tells you what's trending.